हरि ओम सहनावतु सहनाभुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 92, chapter 82. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the real elevation of human life rests on knowledge and renunciation. As stated in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, devotional service rendered to Krishna automatically produces perfect knowledge and renunciation. That just comes from doing devotional service. The family members of the Yadu dynasty and the cowherds of Vrindavan had their minds fixed on Krishna. That is the symptom of perfect knowledge. And because their minds were always engaged in Krishna, they were automatically freed from all material activities. Right? Because if you're always seeing things connected to Krishna, doing things in connection to Krishna, you don't do anything material. So it's not what you're doing, it's seeing it in connection to Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. This stage of life is called Yukta Vairagya. This is called Yukta Vairagya. Not, I'm attached to this and I use it for my, you know, like that, and then maybe say it's for Krishna and maybe not. That's beginning stages. That's not, it's just like you're hungry and someone gives you, let's say, half a sandesh. Technically, is it food? But is it actually a meal? That's part of the meal. So when we say yukta vairagya, this is yukta vairagya. The other is beginning stages of it, where you're starting to see whatever you're doing in connection with Krishna. That's the beginning. But if it's mixed, once it comes to the platform of pure devotion, then that's yukta vairagya. But the process is still the same. We still go through the same stages. You know, the same. It's not that we don't apply it. It's just the beginning.
And now if you don't do it in the end, it's missing.
It's missing, but that's the whole point, is that if you continue to pure devotion, it will be there. So it's just a matter, every living entity will get there, it's just a matter of how much time they want to take. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And one of the essential things we need along the way is having good advanced association.
Yes. No, that's there at every stage. Even the stage of bhava and all that, you still have to have advanced association. It doesn't work without that. So that's why then it's so important that we're studying Prabhupada's books and like this. Because then we maintain that advanced association. This stage of life is called Yukta Vairagya, as enunciated by Srila Rupa Goswami. Knowledge and renunciation therefore do not mean dry speculation and renunciation of activities. Rather, one must start speaking and acting only in relation with Krishna. That's Yukta Vairagya. So that's why we're hard to appreciate or understand, because we're doing activities which seems like it would be done by karmis at the same time as the renunciation that there would be of renunciates. You know, so therefore, those that do the same activities of us, but with material desire, we're not comfortable with. And those that are doing renunciation, but without that connection to Krishna, then it's uncomfortable. So no one can figure us out so easily, because it's neither. It's knowledge and renunciation means it's always engaged in Krishna's service. You have knowledge of Krishna, and you're announced that what you're dealing with is always in relationship to Krishna. Sukadev Goswami continued. Okay, so this part's acceptable. Right? Because of Sukadev. Yeah, okay. Queen Kunti met with her brothers and sisters and their children, and also with her parents, her brother's wives, and Lord Mukunda. While talking with them, she forgot her sorrow. Jiva Goswami comments, the relationship between Kunti and Vasudeva is described in 5 verses. Brothers were Vasudeva and others. Sisters was Shuta Devi and others. His sons were Balaram, Gada, and Santardana and others. Parents were Sura and his wife Bhojya. Brothers' wives were Sri Devi and others. She gave up the sorrow of not seeing them for so long. Or it can mean she shed tears. Right? Either way, if you give up the sorrow, that means that she's happy, so then she could be shedding tears. Does that make sense? Either way. Queen Kunti said, now it's a problem, right? My dear respectable brother, I feel that my desires have been frustrated because although all of you are most saintly, you forgot me during my calamities. Footnote 42. Here Queen Kunti addresses her brother Vasudeva. I think myself devoid of pious acts, since you, though so proper in conduct, did not remember me when I was in difficulty. It was my bad fortune. It was not your fault. Still, it doesn't mean it doesn't have the effect. This is what it means by, how you say, sweet speech. Yes. It sounds so nice how she said it. It says, it's not your fault. It's my bad fortune that you completely forgot me. Even though you have all good qualities and take care of everyone, you didn't take care of me, but it's not your fault because it was my bad fortune. That's the meaning of sweet speech. You get the work done, but it's nicely. Friends and family members, even children, brothers and parents, forget a dear one whom providence no longer favors. Sri Vasudeva said, dear sister, please do not be angry with us. Right? But she said, no, it's not your fault. Don't be angry with us. No, I'm not angry. We are only ordinary men. Right? So now he's taking the thing, no, but I was busy and I this and that and, you know, like that. You were so. No, we are ordinary men. So he takes the humble position. You understand? Sometimes devotees ask, well, where does all this come from? I go, right here. Playthings of fate. Indeed, whether a person acts on his own or is forced by others, he is always under the Supreme Lord's control. Harassed by Kamsa, we all fled in various directions. But by the grace of providence, we have now finally been able to return to our homes, my dear sister. Right? So now by providence, by providence we were taken away, but now by we being able to be back, so now, you know, we're happy together. Sukadeva Goswami said, Vasudeva, Ugrasena, and other Yadu kings honored the various kings who became supremely blissful and content upon seeing Lord Achyuta. All the royalty present, including Bhishma, Drona, Dhritarashtra, Gandhari, and her sons, the Pandavas and their wives, Kunti, Sanjaya, Vidura, Kripacharya, Kunti Bhoja, Virat, Bhishmaka, and the great Nagnajik, Purujit, Drupad, Shalya, Drishtaketu, Kashiraja, Damagosha, Vishalaksha, Maitila, Madra, Kekaya, Yudhamanyu, Shusharma, Bahlika, with his associates and their sons, and the king subservient to Maharaj Yudhishthir. All of them, O best of kings, were simply amazed to see the transcendental form of Lord Krishna, the abode of all opulence and beauty, standing before them with his consorts. Right, so that was the most, you know, they come together and all that, but they're going to talk about Krishna. So now they're all amazed, and so now this is what the discussion is. After Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna had liberally honored them, with great joy and enthusiasm, these kings began to praise the members of the Vrishni clan, Sri Krishna's personal associates. The king said, O king of the Bhojas, you alone among men have achieved a truly exalted birth, for you continually behold Lord Krishna, who is rarely visible even to great yogis. His fame as broadcast by the Vedas, the water that has washed his feet, and the words he speaks in the form of the revealed scriptures, these thoroughly purify the universe. Although the earth's good fortune was ravaged by time, the touch of his lotus feet has revitalized her, and thus she is raining down on us the fulfillment of all our desires. And so they see even what they're getting is by the grace of the Lord and through his agents. Right? They're not saying, yeah, because I work so hard, that's why I'm doing so great. Right? Yeah. The same Lord Vishnu who makes one forget the goals of heaven and liberation has now entered into martial and blood, marital. Wow. Same spelling. Ooh, I never saw that one.
Martial and blood.
Okay, now it makes sense. Has now entered into marital and blood relations with you, who otherwise travel on the hellish path of family life. Indeed, in these relationships, you see and touch him directly. Walk beside him, converse with him, and together with him lie down to rest. Sit at ease and take your meals. Right? So in other words, whatever the situation, even though on the material platform, these would be very difficult situations, cause a great misery for the living entity. But these all in connection with Krishna, then these become wonderful. That's the Yukta Vairagya. Because it's all about Krishna. It's all for Krishna. So even though they're all family members, they're all kings, they're all doing all these, you know, all their royal duties, which create so much difficulty. But still, because they're doing connection to Krishna, they're all absorbed in Krishna. The BBT purport states, all Vedic mantras glorify Lord Vishnu. This truth is supported with elaborate evidence by learned acharyas like Ramanuja in his Vedarta Sangraha and Madhava in his Rig Veda Bhashya. The words Vishnu himself speaks, such as the Bhagavad Gita, are the confidential essence of all scriptures. In this manifestation as Vyasadeva, the Supreme Lord composed both the Vedanta Sutras and Mahabharata. And this Mahabharata includes Sri Krishna's personal statement, Vedais cha saver aham eva vedyo vedanta krid veda vid eva chaham. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of the Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. Bhagavad Gita 15:15. When Lord Krishna appeared before Bali Maharaj to beg 3 steps of land, the Lord's second step pierced the shells of the universe. The water of the transcendental river Viraja, lying just outside the universal egg, thus seeped inside, washing Lord Vamadeva's foot and flowing down to become the Ganges River. Because of the sanctity of its origin, the Ganges is generally considered the most holy of rivers, because it's like the original, you know, that comes into the universe, you know, directly from the touch of the lotus feet of the Lord. So that's why then of the rivers she'll be considered the, you know, when you chant the mantra Gangai cha Jamuna cha, you start off with Ganga. Right? But even more potent is the water of the Jamuna, where Lord Vishnu in his original form, Govinda, played with his intimate companions. So if you're looking at just the formal aspect, then Ganga is the main. But actually, more holy, so she is formally the main, but actually more holy is the Jamuna. Like that. So she takes that, yeah. But even more potent is the water of the Jamuna, where Lord Vishnu's original form of Govinda played with his intimate companions. In these 2 verses, the assembled kings praise the special merit of Lord Krishna's Yadu clan, right, because of their connection with Krishna. Right, so the Ganges is so important, but actually even more is Jamuna because of the association with Krishna. It means Ganga because it washed the lotus feet of the Lord, but Krishna used to play there with all his intimate associates. Not only do they see Krishna, but they are also directly connected with him by dual bonds of marital and blood relations. So they see him and they're related to him. So by all this, they're just so, it's so wonderful. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti suggests that the word bandha, besides its more obvious meaning of relation, can also be understood in the sense of capture, expressing that the love of the Yadus feel for the Lord obliges him always to stay with them. Right? So it has both, that they have bandha, that they have that closeness or relationship or friendship, but it's actually the devotion, they've captured the Lord. That's why he stays with them, not because he's a blood relation or a friend, because he's captured by that devotion. Right? So that's actually the... But the form of it will be this other, but it's actually that aspect. Verses 31 to 48. Krishna and Balaram meet the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Sukadeva Goswami said, when Nanda Maharaj learned that the Yadus had arrived, led by Krishna, He immediately went to see them. Right? So that means that arrival means connection to Krishna. Right? So everyone's looking to arrive. So this is the key. If you're connected to Krishna, then you have arrived. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. He immediately went to see him. The cowherds accompanied him, means Nanda Maharaj. Their various possessions loaded on their wagons. Seeing Nanda, the Vrishnis were delighted and stood up like dead bodies coming back to life. Having felt much distress at not seeing him for so long, they held him in a tight embrace. Vasudeva embraced Nanda Maharaj with great joy. Beside himself with ecstatic love, Vasudeva remembered the troubles Kamsa had caused him, forcing him to leave his sons in Gokula for their safety. O hero of the Kurus, Krishna and Balaram embraced their foster parents and bowed down to them. But their throats were so choked up with tears of love that the two lords could say nothing. Right? So even though the capturing was so much there by the Yadus, that Krishna was there with them, but the capture of Nanda and Yashoda and the Vrajavasis was even greater. So that Krishna can't even speak. The others, then he can be, you know, gracious. We saw before, very liberally, he honored everybody and dealt very nicely with everybody. So he could. That's because of they've captured his heart. But the degree that the Vrajavasis have, then he can't even speak. So, raising their two sons onto their laps and holding them in their arms, Nanda and saintly mother Yashoda forgot their sorrow. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. Then Vasudeva made Nanda and Yashoda, along with their companions, holding the hands of Krishna and Balaram, enter a tent. Then what did they do? This verse answers. First Nanda and then Yashoda, with an eager heart, welcomed their sons. How was it possible for them to offer their own seats to their sons, who now showed such opulences? Out of spontaneous parental love, they thought of Krishna and Balaram as being 8 years old, offspring eternally, sutau. Though they had heard about and seen their opulences and power. So in other words, basically 8 is kind of like the perfect age. You know, before that you're a little small, but when you get up to 8, then it's there. And then when you pass that, then you're just getting a little older than that. So Krishna, even though they might be 100 years old, still they're 8 years old, you know. So that's the way it works. So if you ever wondered, you know, why do they treat me like this? Because you're 8 years old to them. But don't complain, you get more cookies that way. But Mom, I'm the Prime Minister of the country. Okay, I'll give you a few more cookies. You get 2 instead of 1. Okay. Though they had heard about and seen your opulences and powers, right? So it didn't matter to them. That's how they see them. When Krishna, embraced by Nanda and Yashoda, sat on their laps, he transformed into a cowherd boy completely. It was in this form he had while sitting that he also embraced the gopis. Thus it is described that they gave up their lamentation in separation, suchaha. So he invited them into a tent, because if all this happened outside, people would be freaking out. It's kind of like, you can't take the supreme, you know, the master, the yadus, the lord, you know, the supreme lord, the paramatma, and then, you know, the lord of the demigod, just sit him on your lap. You know, so he takes them into a tent. Right? Sukadeva Goswami continued. Then Rohini and Devaki both embraced the queen of Braja, remembering the faithful friendship she had shown them. Their throats choking with tears, they addressed her as follows, right? Because she took care of both of their kids. Right? The BBT purport states, at this time, according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, Sri Vasudeva invited Nanda outside to meet Ugrasena and other elder Yadus, right? And then the ladies can interact. Because if they stay, you can't interact. So you have to... Taking this opportunity, Rohini and Devaki talked with Queen Yashoda. Right, so they're taking the opportunity because it's just, oh, we're going to go see this. You don't say, okay, we're going to go out now so you guys can, you know, interact. Because then it's like, why should we interact? Who said we should interact? You know, just because you said we're not interacting. But you go and, okay, they're not here. Now we can, you know. So you have to, it's a science. You know, and we see it here. That's just how they work. That's how they deal. So they've interacted in that formal kind of thing. Then he takes off Nanda Baba, you know, so now then they can interact in a more close platform. Does that make sense?
Yes. So marriage relationship is the most important thing.
Yes, yes. Yeah, because it's all that. And then that relation being seen in connection with Krishna. So that's just how it works. So it's because of Krishna, that's why it's done. Now whether it's directly in connection with Krishna or it's with the devotees, like that, it doesn't matter. The principle works the same because it's still based on Krishna.
It's not based on efficiency.
Yeah, so we can see is now, it's just like this. Now we're discussing this technical points of the philosophy because we're looking at it from that aspect of the more fine points of how the philosophy works and things like that, how the Yukta Vairagya is working and these things. So, and we see is that those who are on that platform of realization, always seeing Krishna connected with everything, you know, the Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma, they're acting like this. This is their culture. Right? So now the question comes down, is culture like this attractive? Is this what people want? Is this what communities want, families want? You know, the public wants to see because they don't have it. Okay, so now, here's the, how you say, $1 million question, okay? Is that going to be gained by reading some Karmi book on communities, or is it going to be understood by understanding the philosophy in here and how these devotees applied it? That's the difference. Yes, because they have it. And we, yeah. And, yeah, you answered the question. Okay. That's the $1 million question. But the answer is unlimited. You can put no. So you have to be satisfied with the devotion that you have from being able to appreciate and understand.
Too much, too much.
Yes. Yes.
So the doubt might be: is now the rasa is flowing very naturally between Krishna and the residents of Vrindavan. But say if
you walked into the tent, what would happen?
I didn't want to say that, but that's the projection. But
don't worry, you won't walk into the tent until you're on a platform that you can.
The question is, if say Bhargavas is by observing the rasa flowing, trying to imitate that rasa, would it be called rasa bas?
No, they're just appreciating because they can't do that. That's the point, is they have their nature. They can't do it. Just like in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you had Krishna was in that ecstasy of Vrindavan. And so then Vishwakarma made a Vrindavan there on the, you know, on the shore. And so then they took Krishna there. And then he was meeting Mother Yashoda and everybody, and they weren't talking back, but he was still talking to them. He thought maybe they were, you know, absorbed in something or, you know, whatever. And so then it's all going on, and so they're very attracted by it. But the point is they still have to function within there. They didn't go in and take part in the pastime because they won't be able to. They can appreciate, like Lakshmi, she very much appreciates the Braja pastimes, but she can't take part in them. Because Krishna is her husband. So if Krishna is your husband, how do you take part in the pastimes of the gopis? Because in there, Krishna is not their husband. So she can't take part. But they can appreciate. So it's not a problem of appreciation. So the rasa that's being experienced or expressed between, exchanged between Krishna's devotees can be appreciated by any devotee in any realm. From any other realm, because it's rasa, that's always appreciated. But at the same time, they have their own what they get involved in. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, okay, you can appreciate, let's say, well-cooked cuisine from another, you know, region of the world. But your own cooking, you'll do your own. But it, you can appreciate it. So this idea, that's the problem with this Hajjia's idea, is that if I like one rasa, then I can't appreciate the others. In fact, I find them even, you know, distasteful. That's material. The spiritual is everyone can appreciate. So they can appreciate. But at the same time, is if they're there looking, it makes the environment formal, because they're formal, so therefore you wouldn't see it. So they hear about it. They don't see it. The only one from Dwarka who's seen it is Uddhava. So when he comes back and describes it, they're amazed. Or when Rohini, who was there, because she's the only one who was there from Dwarka, when she goes back and tells all the pastimes, then they are all amazed. And that amazement's so great that therefore you get Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's not a problem. That's why, even though here, technically in this the other half of the Bhagavatam, then the stories are about Dwarka, but still, it doesn't change the appreciation of the flavor in that. It just brings out another aspect. It's like, you know, like the Coward Boys. I like a good fight, good wrestling match. So then we hear about, you know, Bhima and Jarasandha, you know, like that. So it's fun. Everybody appreciates.
Because Kurukshetra is an interesting place. It's kind of, it can accommodate all the rasas.
Yes.
Because Vrindavan has its own mood, and Dwarka and Mathura, you know, Vaikuntha. But that's like a neutral place.
It's a neutral place, but because of that neutrality, the secret is that neutrality. It's a neutral place. It can accommodate. But then what is accomplished by that neutrality?
Well, everybody basically is happy.
Everyone's there is happy, but now for the Dwarka Vasis, then Kurukshetra is it Dwarka or not?
Yeah.
It is Dwarka. But for the Braja Vasis, is it Vrindavan or not? No. That's the secret of Purushottam Kshetra. The Dwarka Vasis and Kurukshetra are in Dwarka. So their mood doesn't change. But the Brajvasis, even though their mood is that of Braj, they can't manifest that because it's Dwarka. Right? Now, let us say you're sitting here, there's no food.
No food.
No food. You can't see any food and you are hungry. So it's a problem. You're hungry. You know. But now, let us take you to a place where there's all the food that you would love to eat, that you're dreaming of eating. And it's all nicely there and made out and you know, arranged in this fabulous way, decorative, so attractive and all that. And there's this nice, you know, how you say, 10 millimeter bulletproof, glass between you and that. And you can't get at it, but you can see it right there. So which is more intense? That's Kurukshetra. That's why Lord Chaitanya goes to Puri. Because in here, this is Vrindavan. So the separation is that. But to increase that, he goes to Puri. So all it is just increasing that ecstasy. So taking this opportunity, Rohini and Devaki talked with Queen Jashoda. Rohini and Devaki said, "What woman would forget the unceasing friendship you and Nanda have shown for us, dear Queen of Raja? There is no way to repay you in this world, even with the wealth of Indra. Before these two boys had ever seen their real parents, you acted as their parents and gave them all affectionate care, training, nourishing, and protection." Right, because in that, it means why mention these things? Because these are the definitions Right? So affection, care, training, nourishment. You know, these are various aspects of one thing. Right? Like that. And so, it's said that Manu mentions that someone is the father, by the father who gives, who is, you know, the biological father, then their father. The one who maintains you is father, and the one who protects you is father. So here they're mentioning those two aspects. So even before they acted, they saw their, before they had seen their real parents, you were acting as their parents. Right? So normally the biological parent will do all three. But in this case, the biological parent couldn't. They were just the biological parent, and Nandan just showed that they did the other two. Like that. So that's the specialness that is there. So, yeah. They were never afraid, good lady, because you protected them just as eyelids protect the eyes. Indeed, saintly persons like you never discriminate between outsiders and their own kin. So just their elevated position. The BBT purport states, as Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, Krishna and Balaram had not seen their parents for two reasons. Because of their exile in Braja, and also because they are never actually born and therefore have no parents. So you couldn't see your parents because you don't have any. Yeah. So the main is their exile. So that's why, because then they're their exile. So Balaram, though he was there, he actually appeared in Vrindavan. And then Krishna, though he's there, then it's just immediately then he goes, because as that small baby, you're not. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti also describes that Devaki, though before speaking this verse, thought before speaking this verse, alas, because for so long these two boys of mine had you, Jashoda, as their guardian and mother, and because they were immersed in such a vast ocean of ecstatic loving dealings with you, now that you are once more before them, they are too distracted to even notice me. Yes. So in other words, this is how the brain works. It does work this way. Also, you are behaving as if insane and blind with love for them, showing millions of times more maternal affection than I possess. Because she'll, being Dorkavasi, they'll follow the formality. You know, there'll be that little bit of informality, but it's still there. You know, that's the thing. It's still, but with Mother Yashoda, you don't see that. Yes.
So here we don't see any conflict between the devotees. They can appreciate. But say in material situation, those who can appreciate
cannot
appreciate intimacy. Should they be in that association?
No. Because they'll only find fault. As they get purified and they become attracted, means attracted in a positive way, not a negative way, because they want to see so they can make comments and like that. No, they shouldn't be. So that's why you have to, Vatsyayana makes the point that when you're having programs, you invite people that match in the program. Otherwise, you have people that don't match, saying, oh, but they'll all get, no, it won't work. They'll just all stick to their groups and stay very formal, and it won't be very nice. You get people that they all match the same kind of mood, or compatible moods. They get together, then everything will work.
Because this principle is quite difficult to explain to the devotees. Because then it's like discriminating, and you know people freak out.
But then why are you saying that you couldn't do this? Isn't that discrimination? We have to understand discrimination is a natural point of the intelligence. It discriminates between one thing and another. Like if you can't tell the difference between the railing and the stairs, and you go over the railing, then you'll find the first step is, you know, how you say, as they would say, a doozy, right? It's quite big, right? But if you go down the stairs, then you can you discriminate whether you go down frontwards or backwards, or sliding down, or, you know what I'm saying? So intelligence means you can discriminate. Now, applying false ego and attachments to that discrimination, that's where the problem lies. But being able to tell the difference. They'll say, you know, discrimination. But why are they saying that? They're saying that because they didn't get invited.
Exactly.
But they're not saying it about why they didn't invite people. In other words, people who have a problem with discrimination, it's hardwired that they discriminate. They are your card-carrying, flag-waving discriminators. Otherwise, how could they discriminate that you're discriminating? Because the person who never discriminates wouldn't even notice. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole problem, is that it's all about them. It's not about the principle of discrimination. The politically correct people discriminate the heaviest of anybody. They may do it in a pleasant way. You know, they won't pack you on a train and send you off to places in Poland. But the point is they will discriminate. They will leave you out of meetings that they don't want you in. They will not invite you to programs where they think something important is to be discussed or something influential. Yes, so it's like that. They're very strong on these things. They'll claim that they're equal to everybody, but no, they're only equal to the specific group that they deem is fit for dealing properly with. And everybody that they say is discriminating, then they discriminate against them. So these are all natural. So the only way to avoid this problem, because everybody's going to discriminate, you know, it means you heard of birds of a feather flock together. That's the way it is. Is when you see all that in connection with Krishna. That's how they hear. The Dwarkavasis, the Brajavasis, they identify with their own group. At the same time, they see how everybody is devotee of Krishna and their interaction, they appreciate that. So that's the thing. Only when you introduce Krishna, then all this discrimination falls into its natural place and works very nicely. Because to say someone doesn't discriminate, then how are they discriminating that they're not discriminating? Because a person who doesn't discriminate wouldn't even notice that there is such a thing as discrimination. So the only way to resolve it is being God conscious. So, yeah. Thus you simply keep staring at us, your friends, without recognizing us. So let me bring you back to reality on the pretext of some affectionate words. So that's another thing. If Rohini and Devaki talked with Queen Yashoda, or they addressed her as follows, like that, they took advantage of the. Is that having you know, they're so you know, just so absorbed in that love for Krishna, that they're not even noticing them there, they're not noticing anything, so then they'll bring them back to, you know, what's happening here on the pretext of saying, oh, hi, how are you? Like that. Then, when Devaki failed to get any response from Yashoda, even after addressing her, Rohini said, my dear Devaki, it's impossible just now to rouse her out of her ecstatic trance. We are crying in the wilderness, and her two sons are no less bound up in the ropes of affection for her than she is for them. Right? In other words, the affection between their two children and Mother Yashoda is the same. So she's so absorbed that she doesn't even notice the dwarka scene. Right? And the externals kind of what's going on. Krishna and Balaram are the same. You know, so therefore we're out, I say, crying in the wilderness. You know, we're outside and don't know what's going on, right?
And now as it happened in the tent?
Yeah.
Just like Vrindavan in the tent.
Yeah, that's the point. So let us now go outside to meet with Prita, Draupadi, and others. Yeah. So they took advantage of me, but at the same time, okay, so let us also go out and join the Dwarka Sea. Yeah.
So Devaki and Vasudev had the inability to have Krishna and Balaram, you know, since they left for Gokul. But then they lived with Krishna in Dwarka.
Yes, but the point is the love of the Braj Vasis is greater than the love of the Dwarka Vasis.
Yeah. I was just thinking about Devaki and Vasudev.
Yes, no, they got. They have there, but all they're mentioning, all it is being brought out. Yeah. the love that means the love they have is unlimited, but then Mother Jashoda is even greater than that. So that's the point. Within unlimited, you can have variety. So, yeah.
It's like they would be being surprised that she's not responding and going in. I know.
Yeah, don't worry. Because she's been in Braj, yeah, so she knows. So she's taken part in the Braj Lila, so she can appreciate it. So she knows this. Don't even try. Okay. Yes, exactly. Sukadeva Goswami continued. While gazing at their beloved Krishna, the young gopis used to condemn the creator of their eyelids, which would momentarily block their vision of him. You know, we don't even notice it, but they notice it, you know, like that. Now seeing Krishna again after such a long separation, with their eyes, they took him into their hearts, and there they embraced him to their full satisfaction. In this way, they became totally absorbed in ecstatic meditation upon him. Although those who constantly practice mystic yoga find such absorption difficult to achieve. Right? They're trying to meditate on the Lord. They can't because they have love for Krishna. Then they're always absorbed in the Lord. So that kind of meditation and trance that the yogi's trying to get to, that's their position. And they're just going beyond that, and love is getting greater and greater. And the yogi's just trying to remember. You know, love's not part of the equation. So that's why it's difficult. The other one is easy.
It's a very nice example how a technique follows the move.
The technique follows the move.
So in ordinary meditation, is just the technique.
They're using the technique to get the mood, but if you have the mood, the technique follows. Yeah, very nice. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
So that's the point. If we have that understanding of Krishna, devotion to Krishna, understand the philosophy, that's what we're trying to follow. All the technique will follow. So we may know how does all this get done, how it'll happen. We have to make the endeavor for the technique to get the technique. No, you have to make the endeavor for the devotion. Technique will follow. Because if I try to learn something for Krishna, let's say even management, I try to learn for Krishna, it'll be very difficult. But if I have affection for Krishna and I have the nature of a manager, I will be able to pick up all these things and do them nicely for Krishna very easily. Because it's not a difficulty, because it's about Krishna. Well, the other one is about management and all the difficulties that come and this and that. Yes, it's for Krishna, but I'll see all the obstacles. While the other one will just see Krishna, the obstacles aren't a problem.
Even Maharaj, the topmost manager, they have to be always be updated with the science of how to work with people.
Yes, they always have to be updated, and it's always adjusting around. It's not like they're adding on to what they know. You add something and lose something at the same time. So it's not that they necessarily... It means they'll catch a little bit, but they won't... You know, so in other words, somebody who's 60 or 70 will know a little bit more than the guy who's 20. But the point is that there's just shifting what they do, but if you know Krishna, you know the whole thing. You know all those aspects. So something that's an old technique, you'll be using that today because it's still relevant. They say it's old, so they stop using it and they use something else. But then with time, it'll come out there around using that old technique. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like people would meet people. Then as the technology comes in, now you do everything, you know, on the internet. But now it'll come around in the future that the top guys will only work with people. They won't even they probably won't even keep the phones and all. They'll let their secretaries deal with that stuff. And they'll only meet people. Because anybody can work with a computer. Well, before, when only them, being the rich guys, had the computer, then of course they're going to just do the computer. So it's always just going around and around and around. You know? That's it's not getting anywhere. That's why it said the maybe. The bull is there and going around in a circle. He walks all day. He thought he walked a long distance. He got nowhere. You know, that's the whole point. So, yeah. So, good? Yeah. Okay. In Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada writes, because they had been separated from Krishna for so many years, the gopis, having come along with Nanda Maharaj and Mother Jashoda, felt intense ecstasy upon seeing Krishna. No one can even imagine how eager the gopis were to see Krishna again. As soon as Krishna became visible to them, They took him inside their hearts, through their eyes, and embraced him to their full satisfaction. Even though they were embracing Krishna only mentally, they became so ecstatic and overwhelmed with joy that for the time being they completely forgot themselves. Right? So in Dwarka, generally you don't forget yourself.
Yes.
There may be a moment, but it's obvious in this formal thing. But here is that they just totally forget, and it should. So that's why there's a difference in the realms, because in sweetness you're not going to get worried about that. But in majesty, then you know the show must go on.
Yes,
you know, like that. That's the difference. The ecstatic trance they achieve simply by mentally embracing Krishna is impossible to achieve even for great yogis constantly engaged in meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna could understand that the gopis were wrapped in ecstasy by embracing him in their minds, and therefore, since he is present in everyone's heart, he reciprocated the embracing from within. So as Paramatma, he embraced them back. Yeah, there's some far out stuff going on here, right?
As Govinda.
Huh? As Govinda, yeah. So the point is that they, the yogis are just trying to remember him, let alone embrace him, let alone be embraced back, right? You know, so, yeah. So it's just, that's the whole point. Rohini is pointing out to Devaki, no, they're in another realm.
Yeah.
And that's Mother Jashoda. Now we hear about the gopis, which is even beyond that.
The yogis from the beginning. Which guru from where you get this technique of Paramatma embracing back? If you speak to them there, which book it is in from, and then I never heard about this.
Yeah, well, here it is. Bhagavatam. Like that.
So Maharaj, can you say that to be embraced by Krishna mentally is more deep?
It's not a matter of that. It's just that in that feeling of separation. But here it's in separation, but you're with, but you're separate. So that's this uniqueness of here. The intensity may be greater. But the point is it's still subservient to actually embracing Krishna. Is that, though you're actually embracing, there's no difference, but there is a difference between embracing the original form and just within the heart.
Yes.
You know, within the mind.
Yes.
So that's the point, is separation, even though it's more intense than Sambhog, but it's more intense because it's the one that raises the bar. And then the Sambhog will be on that level.
Yes.
Right? So let's say we're at, you know, 10. So the Sambhog's at 10. The separation will take it, let's say, to 20.
Mm-hmm.
Now when you meet Krishna, now the Sambhog will be at 20.
Yes.
So it's only for increasing the Sambhog. It's not that, because otherwise you think, well, that's the highest, there would never be Sambhog. No, the point is it's a assistant to Sambhog, though it's more intense, because it's the one that brings it to the next level. So that's why we may say, well, why does Krishna go away, or why do bad things happen, and all this and that, because that erases the our attachment to Krishna, the remembrance of Krishna. Does that make sense?
But it seems that the Sambhog and Viparamba can be almost simultaneously. Not exactly, but
they are, but they're different. The point is they're the same, but they're different.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Krishna's energies are the same, but they're different.
Mm-hmm.
It always is going to come back to Chintaveda-Veda Tattva.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't matter what, it's going to come back to that. So in other words, we can describe it, then we practice it, then we'll realize it. And that will give us that taste and all that. Then we can appreciate it. So we're just hearing about it.
Yes.
We know, okay, it's good. The future is good. But, yeah.
Mark, this scene is very emotional scene.
Mm.
And then some devotees, they say it is possible to cultivate the emotion.
How will you cultivate the emotion?
Well, that's my question, because we know we can experience emotion.
Means you can cultivate the emotion by following the devotional process. But to just cultivate the emotion on its own, what would be the point? Because they're trying to catch the emotion. Here, let's separate here. So, okay, now there's the situation. In this situation, there's an emotion, right? So now, why are we attracted by the emotion? What's the interesting thing about the emotion?
It's an experience.
It's an experience, but why this one? Why are we looking at this one?
Because it gives satisfaction.
It gives satisfaction, but who is it giving satisfaction to?
Me.
It means ourselves. Ultimately, that's the idea, but at this point, reading this story, who's getting the satisfaction?
That's for Krishna.
Yeah, I mean, Krishna's getting, these devotees are getting, and we're hearing about it.
Yeah.
We may like hearing, so how do we cultivate that? By hearing about it.
Yes.
But you can't separately cultivate it, because then it's about me getting the experience of, you know, I want the happiness gained from love of God. They're not interested in love of God. They're interested in the experience that they'll experience during love of God. So it's still not an elevated position. The elevated position is we perform activities that get results that produce an experience in Krishna. And then seeing Krishna experiencing that, that's what makes us happy. So our experience comes because Krishna is experiencing it, not because I want to experience it. That's the difference. Even if we're going to talk, because most of the time people will talk this, it'll be in connection with the conjugal rasa, no?
Yeah.
Yeah. So now, by that definition, we can see that's the Mahishis at Mathura. That's Kubja. That's not the gopis. Yeah. So we're not even up to the level of the Dwarkavasis in this, you know, the queens. Because it's about, I want to enjoy myself in connection to Krishna. I don't, you know, I'm not thinking about other things, but I want to enjoy myself in connection with Krishna. The queens is, they will enjoy themselves and please Krishna. It's half-half.
Yeah.
But with the gopis, it's just about pleasing Krishna. That's it. Does that make sense?
Because then the Bharat Muni in his Natya Shastra, he explains mundane, but then Rupa Goswami takes the example.
The mechanics are the same.
Yeah. So then he says, then watching the drama.
No, he's explaining transcendental, but he's presenting in words that on this platform we'd understand.
Yeah. So his idea is that those who watch the drama, then the actors, they experience very high level of emotion, say bhava.
Mm-hmm.
But those who watch them, they actually can, it is possible for them to experience prema by watching them.
Mm-hmm.
So is that the path we're following?
Means the path we're following is by engaging in devotional service, in the association of devotees, we've become inspired, because if it's by seeing others, that's why we associate with those who are more advanced or those who are serious, because that seeing them engaged in devotional service, that makes us more absorbed in devotional service. That's the process. Not sitting down and trying to absorb yourself and I'm thinking about, you know, like this. That's what Sahaja is doing. You know, we remember what they're doing. But if you sit around thinking what I would be doing, that's not even a real process. Because to have a sarup, you have to be liberated. It means we have our sarup, but you can't use it until you're liberated.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, when at liberation, then you're actually conscious. Right? So just like you're in your body, but if you're in a coma, can you use your body? No. So when you wake up, now you can use your body. You understand? So that's sarup. But until your consciousness is qualified that it is exclusively about Krishna, nothing else, it's not about you, it's not about anything else, then only you can be an associate of his eternal associates and engage in pastimes in association with them and Krishna. That's called sarup, siddhi. The perfection of sarup. Right? Then, when you qualify on the platform of prema, that you can now function in that platform permanently, rather than going in and out of that. right? There is no material contaminations at all, right? Then you attain vastu siddhi. Then you function just on that platform of prema. Does that make sense? So, that kind of thing, saying we'll cultivate that, no, you won't. Because the madhyamas wouldn't say that. Neophytes might say that, but how are neophytes going to do with those in the, you know, you could say the middle platform of, you know, that bhava bhakti be doing? You know what I'm saying? So they're talking about apandas when they're, you know, what about the other three? They haven't brought smarana dasa to total absorption and samadhi on Krishna. So therefore, the process is hearing about those and contemplating those who are on that platform. So the more we hear and chant about this, so reading like this in this kind of assembly, just reading on our own, doing a dramatic reading, doing plays on this pastime, all these different things. These are all different ways to absorb yourself. So, yeah. And Bharat Muni is just showing the we get the refinement of an appreciation of what's going on and what's being experienced. But still, he's only telling the situations of these experiences. Does that make sense? So, he may explain that some of this attitude would look like this, or dress like this, talk like this, walk like this. And if by following that, you know, nicely to present that, right? In other words, we're servants of that, and so it's our service like that. Then you'll be able to taste that. You know? While you never really hear about those following Stanislavski tasting anything. Good actors, but you never hear about them talking about taste. Interesting, huh? So, therefore, the technical is there, you do it, but it's not that's why you're going to get the taste. So there is no cultivation of it. The cultivation comes from following the directions given by the acharyas. Right? Because the difference between rag bhakti and vaidhi bhakti is one is the taste for doing those, following those rules, and the other is that the taste is following the rules. Right? I'm following rules, that's the taste. The other is what I'm doing gives a taste. Right? In other words, I'm supposed to chant this much rounds, I'm doing that, I'm doing it properly at the right time, right place, doing it, I get a taste from that. That itself is a thing. The other thing is chanting, I'm getting a taste from chanting. It's subtle, but there's a difference. So that's why all these things is, you know, we have to cultivate this. Yes, you cultivate it by doing what we're already doing. Just cut out all the other stuff that's not doing this. You know, like Facebook. Not happening. So then, you know, cultivate it when you can. So that's the whole point. By hearing and chanting, remembering, that's the process. And then that hearing, chanting, remembering can be then expressed through Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandhanam, Dasyam Shakyam Adman Veda. It means you have all these processes. Does that make sense?
Maharaj, how would you explain having these different ragas for kirtan at different times of the day?
Because those are that match the flavor of the time. In other words, the situations that there, the raga matches that flavor.
But doesn't that invoke particular emotions?
It can, but we're not saying it's because you're singing the rasa, because it means the Mangalartik, we're singing the morning raga when Radha and Krishna are waking up and by their associates, but we may be thinking about what we're going to do today and Oh, well, that person, they're here now? I didn't know they were here. My, when did they come? So it's if you focus on, then it can. But the point is it's a matter of you have devotion to Krishna and you use these as mediums that works. But it's not that having it works. It's not because I have that raga and can sing that raga that mood is there. No? Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanand.